Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's our second podcast of the week. It's episode 111, of the Bucks UK TV. We are previewing the Bucks homecoming. They're back after a stint on the road. The Tennessee Titans are coming to town. This is a 3-5 team who lost last week in a close game against Pittsburgh. Ring any bells? Losing close games. Tim, we'll start with you. Tell us what we need to be worried about for the Tennessee Titans, maybe in terms of their offense.
In terms of the offense, it's can we let another rookie quarterback take us apart this week? I don't think Will Levis is CJ Stroud, or you know, he's had one good game, one half decent game. CJ Stroud's looked really good all year, so I don't think we've got to deal with that type of threat. But then they come up with Derrick Henry, and unfortunately, on the outside, one of the best receivers of the last 10 years in DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
So it's going to be more of the same as last Sunday, I'm afraid. It's that type of opposition we're up against.
David, obviously CJ Stroud, I think we were saying in the London meetup, you know, of all the players of the other teams, I quite like him. I think I would say the same to Derrick Henry. I don't think running backs get much love these days, but he doesn't need a line, does he?
No, and he still delivers, doesn't he? Muscles it through. He's got the power there. I mean, he's kept this Tennessee offense alive, really, at times. He's been their main man. And as a pro, you can't knock him, can you? He's been there, done it, and continues to do it. Hopefully, you know, the one thing that we've till recently get to do is stop the run. And this will be quite a battle, I think. And, you know, it's key to the game, definitely, this week.
I think so. Gary, so we know that the coaches are desperate for your X's and O's insight and what we should be doing on this. What sort of plays are you dialing up to try and shut down Tennessee? And if we think that the NFL has got the measure of Todd Bowles, how aggressive or how conservative, how much, you know, forwards, backwards do we need to be when we're trying to shut down Tennessee?
Well, Tim mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. He's obviously the go-to man in the passing game. So you've got to do something about that. I'm a great believer in jamming them at the line of scrimmage to disrupt the timing of the, you know, of the passing game. If you do that, then that gives, dare I say it, JTS and Shaq Barrett a chance to get to him. The key, as always, in terms of stopping the run, that is whether Vita Vea is fit and able to go. Well, hopefully he is. He played on the Houston game, didn't he, fully all the way through? So as long as he's there, we've got a sporting chance of stopping Derrick Henry. But he's a big lump, isn't he, Derrick Henry? So, you know, if their offensive line can punch a few holes, I don't want to see Antoine Winfield Jr. trying to stop Derrick Henry in the backfield. I really
that's not a fun day. If he's the leading tackler, you know something's gone wrong. But I think you're right to highlight Vita Vea. So Aaron Brewer is the center of the Tennessee Titans line, and I think he's probably one of the better linemen there. And I think you're right. You know, whereas we're all sick to death of the Bucks running it up the gut, I can see if Vita Vea is not there, that's probably where the Titans might want to try and attack. If they think we've got speed outside, then you know, channel it up the middle and see what we can do. I mean, David, Gary didn't really answer my question. He took the fifth really on the how aggressive you want to be on play calling. What do you think?
Well, I think following last week's game, they've all got to turn up and deliver this week. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It was a huge wake-up call for them. You know, the entire focus has been on that last 40 seconds of last Sunday's game, and they've got to turn it around and they've got to deliver. I think, you know, we need to get the pressure up front. They're being called out JTS. I mean, he is bust at the minute. And there's no other way of saying it. He's got to, if he wants a career at the end of the season, he's got to do something about him now. And in the backfield, Carlton Davis, you know, we have to go back to man marking. We can't do this zonal. It doesn't work. We haven't got those sort of players. And, you know, I think this is one for Carlton Davis to stick to Hopkins this week. and to show us what you've got.
And as much as we can, I think you probably need Antoine Winfield Jr. to have the other side of the field to Hopkins, because there's going to be a gap somewhere else. But maybe try and rotate the coverage so that whoever's on Hopkins has got a little bit of help. A little bit in the same way that other teams do against Mike Evans. Often there's two players near Mike Evans rather than just one. You know, you either roll the coverage or you play zone one side and man the other side. I can't take credit for this because I was reading on social media, but I can't remember who said it. But someone was saying about the sort of the level of vanillarity. That's not really a word I've just made up. But kind of the, you know, when we're playing young, inexperienced quarterbacks, and we've seen this with good coaches, you know, you disguise the blitzes, bring people up to the line, but then drop some back and send some others and rotate the zone so that they think actually, you know, there's someone open, but there's a, you know, a linebacker sitting underneath that's just waiting to pick off that errant pass or something. And it feels like, I think that's probably what we need. We need to try and confuse a young and inexperienced quarterback. I think that for me is the objective. So that's what I would like to try and see anyway. Let's flip over to the other side of the ball then, about how we keep this Buccaneer offense rolling. Again, you know, if we can try and, you said, David, if we can score 37 points, you'd expect us to win. What do we need to do to score 37 points on the Titans? Are you there, David?
Sorry, it's just Sonny France.
Oh, so that's all right. What do we need to do to score 37 points on the Titans?
We need to push it downfield. We need to get more expansive in the offense. We've got to start getting Godwin and Evans back in the game. We've got to start using them. We've got to start getting defenses playing against us on their back foot and be scared of us. You know, we've got to stretch it. The more you do that, we've said about how difficult the run game is, but the more you've got more players dropping back on defense, the more gaps there will be in the run. We can't be this run first team. We're not a run first team at the minute. We need to build on it by getting the ball deep where we have got our stud players. You know, Evans and Godwin are caliber NFL players, and we've got to give them the ball.
Yeah, I think that's right. And in terms of looking at the Titans' defense, there is one player, Tim, by the name of Sean Murphy Bunting, who probably knows the Buccaneers quite well. How much intel do you think he's going to be able to impart to the Titans?
Probably a bit. We you know, we are a different offense since he left there. He was never the best defensive back for us anyway, to be truthful. So, but Dave's got it exactly spot on. If we attack the likes of Murphy Bunting and so on down the field, yeah, Dave is right. The gaps will then start appearing. As I said earlier, Rashad White is very good in space. So that's, you know, if you're going to cover 50 yards rather than 15 yards, it's going to be much easier to move the ball. I would still like us to see us throw in, Dave said about the long pass and so on. Yeah, occasionally. To try and split it up, but we still can't run a 15-play, 10-minute drive. We just can't.
Yeah.
And that's the way to win games. The best way to win a game is to keep the other offense off the field. And the way that's done is with 10-minute drives, three or four a game. If you can three a game, you'll win the game.
That's true. And if you run it up the gut for nothing on first down, try and go long and have it drop pass on second down, you're digging yourself in a bit of a hole. So yeah, Gary,
maybe run Gary's flea flicker earlier.
Well, I was going to come to Gary. So we've had the flea flicker. That one's on tape now. What's the next trick play we need to move on to?
Oh, it's very simple. Another flea flicker. You know, Bruce Arians always said you don't run the same play twice, but you know why not? You know, I believe it or not, I didn't see the flea flicker. I was at the bar getting a drink, but. You know, whoever running back was, whoever it was thrown to, do it again with a different pair of players. It's as simple as that. The thing for me is, though, that prior to the Houston game, we couldn't run the ball at all. So other defenses, you know, planned for our passing game and essentially took it away. But we ran the ball a lot better against Houston. So Tennessee are now thinking, oh, you know, the running game's getting a bit better. We can't just play safeties deep. You know, we need to plan to stop the run as well. So that might just open things up just a little bit more. But I also agree with Dave and Tim, you know, we need to hurl it down the field. You know, let's have some proper chunk plays, like the one to Mike in the Houston game.
The other player we just haven't mentioned, your hope will carry on now, is Cade Otton.
Yes.
If he can develop that middle of the field, that might actually avoid Godwin having to run over the middle of the field all day.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm. Yeah, I think for me that I think Gary, you said this when the I think it might have been the first score for the Texans when they did that sort of seam slight slant pass into the end zone. We both looked at each other and said, "That, why aren't we running that play?"
Yeah, it was brilliantly designed, brilliantly carried out. He feigned it to the running back who was on his right hand side, did a little sort of shimmy, and then the receiver was coming across from the left. He had a yard on our defensive back, and you know you're not going to stop it. It was brilliantly conceived, brilliantly executed by the players concerned, and showed that exactly the creativity that we don't.
I completely agree. So just show me that shimmy one more time.
That one.
Brilliant.
I've not had anything to drink today, so it's not very rhythmical.
So I'll come on to your score predictions, so start thinking. But before then, it's our magic wand moment. So we've still got a week's worth of practice, not quite as much time, dare I say it, as we had to face the Texans coming off of the Bills game. But what, you know, if you're going to wave your magic wand in practice, what's the thing that you're going to focus on and try and fix? And maybe, David, I'll come to you first.
Well, on the offense, as you said, let's open up the playbook and get it deeper. Let's stretch the team.
So your magic wand is going to be a better playbook. I like that. Okay.
And Mike Evans, 120 yards. Just keep throwing him the ball.
Yeah. He'll either get the flag or he'll get the catch. It'll go for eventually. Yeah. Tim, where's your magic wand going?
My magic wand is on the defensive line, and especially outside with GTS. The best place for GTS currently at the moment is on the bench, and you start Andy Nelson in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one change I would genuinely like to see.
Hmm.
Sad but true. Dare I say it, that could just be a kick up the backside as well he needs. I think he's probably fair to say that JTS has kind of walked into the starting role by virtue of where he was drafted and his speed. And you know, as I'm sure Madden always said, speed kills and all that sort of stuff. But actually, yeah, it's no point if you're running past the quarterback or anything like that. So yeah, I get what you're saying. Gary, then, your magic one moment. What is it you're going to fix this week?
I'm going to go along with Tim. I want to. My magic wand really is that Will Levis has the worst game he's ever had in his life, and that's from when he started playing football in high school or wherever. You know, I want to see him planted on his backside, you know, 7, 8, 9 times. I want pressure, and more pressure. And after we've brought more pressure, I want even more pressure on him. That's really the key. That's how we will win it.
Yeah, throwing off his back foot, hearing footsteps even when they're not necessarily coming, that Absolutely. Sort of thing. Yeah. I get that completely. I think for me, I think it's about stopping the run game. So I'm going to sort of magically increase all the Madden ratings for everyone across the D-line by 10 percentage points. Just see where that gets us. So score prediction times, put your bets. Where's it going to fall? Tim, first of all, obviously I'm hoping it's not going to be the score in your background of 55-13.
we would like to see it that way. As long as the Bucks were under the Derek Brooks name there, that would be very nice. That would be a dream to put again 37 points up. I don't think we will this week. I've been very downbeat on the Bucks over the last couple of podcasts. I'm actually going to say we're going to win this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to win a sneaker, something like 23-20, 2017, somewhere around those.
I've got 2017 written down as well. Proof there. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's something around that. A real tight.
I think there's going to be a rocket up the bum of everyone at one back place, whether they publicly admit it or not. They read the headlines. They know what fans are saying. They're going to start to feel the pressure. They don't want to keep their jobs. I think this is one where it's going to be playing as much for themselves as for the team. I'll say 2017, similar to your prediction, Gary.
Just as an aside on scores, the Houston game, you know, that was a totally unique score in NFL history.
What do they call it? A scoropoly or whatever they call it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's never been a 39-37. Mm. And that's the second time this season that we've done that, because the Philly game was the same. An interesting little stat there. I'm sure Scott Smith has jumped on that one. Score in this game, the offense finally woke up last week. The defense, surely it can't be as bad. Surely, to goodness, it can't be. Yeah, Scott, Todd Bowles is coaching for his life. He knows that. He's got to do something. So I think this is the one where we really do break out. I'm going for a fairly comprehensive victory, 33-18.
I like that. We'd be more than happy with that, wouldn't we, David?
Yeah, that was pretty close to what I was going for. I mean, this is 2-3-5 teams. This is make or break. You know, that was the biggest wake-up call this team is going to get. They've got to get out and deliver this year. We've not been great at home this year, which is really a shame. But I went 30-17. So, yeah, along the lines, this is it. You know, this is...
And we promise we aren't still drunk from the watch party, but you did just hear four win predictions come through. So we're rooting for them. We're still behind them. No matter what anyone else says, they're still our team. We love them. We'll always be for them. Good times and bad. It's a Bucks life and all of that sort of stuff. Tell us in the chat what you think your score predictions would be. By all means, join us on our forum at bucksuk.org, where we'll be chatting all through the game. Until then, we will see you next time. Thank you, David. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Gary. And as ever, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.